Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it takes us back to the book of James. In the first part of that book that James began to write, he told us that when we go through diverse temptations, meaning the trials of life, that these things will help us to grow and to endure, and we'll be able to carry on. And then he tells us that if you need some help in your trial and in your tribulation, then you can pray for the wisdom that God would give you, and He will help you through that very trial. And don't ask, but let Him ask in faith. Don't waver, knowing that God is working out what's best for us, whether we realize it or not. God is always good. He's never going to do you wrong. Take your Bibles and go to the book of James chapter 1. This is going to be, and stand with me. This will be the third message, the third part of the message that we're preaching from the verses of verse 13 through verse number 17. And I'll say a little bit more about the first two messages in just a moment. We've actually, in those two messages, used two different illustrations of what James is trying to get across about temptation. And he has changed his perspective. He has changed his message from trials of life, the tribulations of life, the things that happen in life that help us to endure our faith and help us to have patience. He moves from that to temptation. And even though the word is used interchangeably sometimes, you can always tell what God is speaking about based on the context. And so in the beginning, he begins to talk about falling into trials and the trials of life. And now he has changed his message to the temptations that come on each and every one of us. So we're going to read again in verse 13 through verse number 16, as we have done for the last 3 weeks. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. You can't say that. In fact, you wouldn't even be able to say that, well, God made me this way. Well, we're all sinners, all right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that does not give us an excuse. God does not tempt us, the devil does, and the flesh does, and the world does. But the Bible says that God tempteth no man. Now, God does put us in trials, but He doesn't tempt us. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt He any man. But every man is tempted, and you might want to remember that, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then we're going to also deal with verse number 16 today. It says this, do not err, my beloved brethren. Father, we are very grateful for Your Word. We're thankful for the truth of it, the illustrations that You give us in the text, the things that we can see that are very real. And Lord, we would not lie to ourselves to know that temptation does not come. But we also understand that the Word of God gives us an avenue on how to deal with temptation. We do know that temptation is real, and we've looked at that. We do know that temptation has a route by which it takes. And then, Lord, I would like to try to bring across this very thought today of the result of temptation's end. And I pray, Lord, that You might help me to articulate and bring forth the truth of Thy Scripture. And then I would say, Lord, that we could find ourselves in verse 16 after finishing these three messages, and we have been given admonition from James himself through the Holy Ghost to not err and not to go the wrong way. So I pray, Lord, that again, Your Word would go forth very succinctly and very clearly this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want to go over this again, but just to be a reminder, because there's no doubt when you come to church on a Sunday morning, maybe somebody wasn't here over the last couple of weeks, and so you have to make sure that you understand the context of where we are. This is the third message from this passage of Scripture, and praise God, that's what I love about pastoring. If I can get through one verse every week, well, praise God, and that's the way it is. I said, well, what are you going to do? I'm not going to shortcut it. I'm just telling you, James begins to deal in his letter to those Christians that have been scattered abroad because of the trials of life. By the time James writes this letter, the Roman Empire has now come against Christianity in a very forceful way. And there are people who knew that they were saved. They understood the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the Lord and the King of their life. And they were not going to deny that very fact. And we understand some circumstances that took place within the Roman Empire caused the Roman government actually to come against these Christians. And James said that they're scattered abroad. And the reason that they have been scattered abroad is he begins to tell us because of the trials that had come against them had really caused them to scatter. I can't imagine that, but I also recognize the fact that if it's been done in past history, it certainly can be done in future history. And we know in many places in the world, Brother Boonstra, it's actually going on in the present history, in the present tense right now. There are those. Try to start an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in Baghdad, Iraq. Or try to start a Bible-believing Baptist church in Tehran, Iran. You understand these things are still real. And we feel like sometimes because we live in the culture that we live in, and we've enjoyed the freedoms that we have for so long that it can't happen to us. You better open your eyes. It's starting to happen to us. And we're starting to lose freedoms. And we're having people in the political scene that are coming up saying things like Christians need to get over themselves. And to which I would respond, hey, just leave us alone and let us preach the gospel and let us worship the way that God would have us to worship. And that means preaching against sin, by the way. All right, so anyhow, you got all free there because that wasn't even in my message. But James is dealing with the reality in their life of trials. And we certainly know that we have trials also. Even if they're not brought on from the political arena or the government, trials of life come in many various different forms. And we know people in our church now that are going through trials. And we know people that have gone through trials in the past. And we know as a church we've gone through a trial. I considered the lawsuit a trial. I mean, those are the kind of things that we need to ask God for wisdom. And God, help us to stay true. And oh God, help me to keep my testimony. And help me to be sweet. And help me to be right. Even when the circumstances are not as I would maybe think I would like them. Life doesn't always turn out the way we think it might turn out. And Job 5:7 tells us, and I say this, the longer you live, the words of Job ring true. In Job 5, he said, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And so I would remind you that we need wisdom during our trials. And God says that we can ask for wisdom during our trials. But now we're in verse 13 through 16, and James has shifted his message from trials to temptations. Now, trials come from God, but temptations can never come from God. A trial is a difficulty or trouble that comes from God or is allowed by God, I should say, for the purpose of building us up in the faith. A temptation, on the other hand, is a solicitation to sin that comes from Satan for the purpose of ruining our walk with God. And I made this statement several times. When you get saved, the devil knows he cannot have your soul. So the thing that he wants greatly is your testimony. And he will do everything that he can and throw everything at us that he might ruin our testimony for the cause of Christ. So far we have seen that temptation, number one, is real. The Bible says this, but every man is tempted. That is a reality of the child of God. Temptation is real because it says, but every man is tempted. Number two. The message last week, temptation always has a route by which it takes. Yep. It's the same route every time. That route is, when a man is tempted, he can become drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And I never thought about, I've used the fish and I've used the trapped animal. But I want to use, I actually have it already in my notes, brother, before I ever knew you was going to be here. So can I talk about Spike? I'm not really a dog person, you understand. Everybody knows that. God knows I'm not a cat person. My little daughter, my little granddaughter, Olivia, I took her out for a date about last week, and she got her one of those Dr. Pepper bottles. I said, "You want a Dr. Pepper?" It's in it, like it's in the DNA of my children. They all like Dr. Pepper, and I'm a Coke man myself. But anyhow, Dr. Pepper, and she said, when she got through, she said, "Can I keep the bottle?" And I said, "What are you going to keep the bottle for?" "Well, I'm going to put animals in it." I said, "What, like a cat?" It would take a lot for us to, we'd have to do a lot of cutting to get a cat in that bottle. "No, Papa, yeah, no, like ants or something like that." So I don't know if she has any ants or bugs in that bottle or not. But I'm not necessarily a dog person, even though we have had dogs throughout the years. But really, the basic reason that we don't have animals is because I would spend more on trying to find somebody to take care of them while I was gone than I would being at home trying to take care of them myself. But Brother Marshall, when he was traveling evangelism, had a little chihuahua, and his name was Spike. And he had the best personality of any dog that I like. So I adopted him as my, he was like my, I was the godfather. That's what I was to the dog, too. And so Spike liked me and I liked Spike. And it was an awesome relationship that we had. Until one day, Spike was killed because he was enticed by a squirrel. And Brother Marshall actually said, Spike, and we buried him behind Berean Baptist Church because he died here. He died right out here on the road. And we actually said, and Brother Marshall said, well, he died of the lust of the squirrel. The dog was awesome, except he had one flaw. He had one major flaw, and that was a squirrel. If he saw a squirrel, he lost his mind. He literally lost his mind when that, he walked out of the trailer one day, and he saw the squirrel, and it was all over. He took off after the squirrel. He was not thinking about the danger of the road. He was not thinking about what he was doing. He was not thinking about the people that loved him and the people that took care of him. All he was thinking about is, I would like to get a piece of that squirrel. And he ran out into Norton Road, and a car came by and ran over it. Now, that illustration is the same thing that I used several weeks ago when I said that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And then James actually uses the word enticed, which actually comes from the world of fishing. And never would understand that if you're going to fish, you've got to entice the fish to come to the bait. You've got to entice the fish by taking some kind of shiny object or a worm or some kind of bait that's going to lure the fish to the hook. And as soon as the fish hits the hook, boom, the fisherman jerks the reel and the hook is set inside of the mouth of the fish and he's reeled in. And you know what the end result of the fish is that it got enticed? He is filleted and he is fried. He's dead. And you want to understand something this morning. While we understand that temptation is real because it says every man is tempted, we also understand that temptation has a route, and this route is this. When he is drawn away of his own lust and he is enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, listen to this, always, 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 according to the Word of God, will end up bringing forth death. That's the end result, my friend. It's not something that is to be admired. It's not something to say, oh, look at me. I want to preach this morning for the next few minutes on this. Not only do we have the reality of temptation and the route of temptation, but my friend, it all comes together when we have the result of the temptation that leads to sin, and sin leads forth to death. Now I want to use a different illustration from the text this morning. I want you to notice with me, the Bible says in verse number 15, we've preached verse number 13, and last week we preached verse number 14, but I want to preach verse number 15 this morning. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now James, by using the word enticed, has spoken of the fish. By using the term drawn away, is talking of a trap like an animal that follows the bait and he sees the bait. And I think of a raccoon that can cause havoc, and you just put a shiny object of some type, and that raccoon in his curiosity will find himself going for the shiny object, and as soon as he gets his paws on it, the trap comes down. He was drawn away and he was trapped, and the raccoon would look around realizing, whether he, I don't know what the animals think, but I'm thinking as a human, that he cannot get out of the trap. And he's been, because he was drawn away and because of his ties. Now the third illustration that we have and the last result is found in verse number 15. When James uses childbirth as an illustration of sin being conceived in the human heart, because the word conceived here we find in verse number 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now the word conceived means very simply to bring together. Whenever a man and a woman get married, they have a ceremony. And when a man and woman come together, there comes a process of time of marriage that she, the woman, conceives and a child is brought forth. And what a glorious occasion that is. However, James uses this illustration not in a positive way, as we would see in the birth of children. He uses it in a negative way. And here's what he says. Like a baby in the mother's womb, sin is conceived and it grows to full maturity. However, new life is not the result of this conception. Death is the result of this conception. Because the Bible says, when lust conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin reaches its full development, it results in death. In fact, Ezekiel would say it like this. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So I want to call this, if I could, an unholy marriage. Think of it like this. Down comes the aisle of desire. An unholy desire. And coming from the other side is the will. And there is Satan and the devil who presides over the ceremony. And when the will and the lust agree with each other, and when the will says I do to the lust, then a marriage, an unholy marriage takes place. And after marriage, then comes a child. So you see this step of conception, because out of this marriage, there comes a child. And every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Listen to this. That's the courtship. He's drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed. That's the consent. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That is the conception. And then this unholy marriage produces an unholy child, which is death. Now, I want you to think about this in this sense. First of all, don't ever try to tell people this, that sin is somehow not pleasurable, because that's a lie. Sin isn't. Sin is very pleasurable. But the Bible tells us that it is only for a season. Now, when I say sin, I'm talking about something that violates the Scriptures. I'm not talking about something that is right and something that is holy. For instance, marriage is holy, and a man and a woman who come together is right, because God intended for a man and a wife to come together. And so don't say that's sin. No, that's good. That's right. That's the way God intended it for me. But if you have some kind of desire, a sexual desire outside of marriage, that's sin. And that's going to always result in death. Now here's the problem with this unholy marriage that we find in our text this morning, and that's this. And I want you to understand this, folks. Listen, the reason that people walk into sin and do their own thing and try to live by the culture who says, eat, drink, for tomorrow you die, the problem is people never look down the road to the end result of what will take place. Now, first of all, you could tell this to the prodigal son who decided he didn't want to hear what the father had to say. And I'll put it in this vernacular. He didn't care what the Bible said. He didn't care what his parents said. He didn't care what the preacher preached. He didn't care what the church stood for. He didn't care what the Sunday school teacher was trying to say. He didn't care what the Word of God was trying to tell him to keep him out of trouble and keep him on the narrow path and keep him in fellowship with God and keep him to have a sweet spirit and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. No, he decided he thought he knew better than God did. So he found himself out on the road to a far country taking what he thought was his, only to find out that he had a lot of friends as long as his money was going, and he was partying and doing all this, except one day the money ran out. And then that when the money ran out, there was no food to buy. And when the food source ran out, he found himself having to go to work. But yet more than that, he found himself in a hog pen eating the husk from the hogs. And I used to, my dad used to raise hogs, and I used to have to what we call slop hogs. And I would never have thought about eating what we fed to the pigs. But yet that's exactly what he was doing. You see, when he started out on this road, on this unholy marriage that his will and his lust and his desire had hooked up with what he wanted to do, when it all began to be conceived and when it became forth and had a baby, he didn't realize that the baby was a hog pen. And he's laying down there in that hog pen when he finally, praise God, I'd say, comes to himself and says something to the effect that the servants in my father's house eat better than this. And he came to himself. But why did he have to go all the way down to the hog pen before he came to himself? You don't have to do that. Right. How about this? Adam and Eve didn't die immediately when God said this. Now, you can eat of all the trees, but of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So when they sinned and they found themselves in the garden hiding from God, because of their situation, they didn't die immediately, did they? But they did die. You see, I'm telling you, people never look down the road to the end result. You see, Adam and Eve did not see when they sinned and disobeyed God. They didn't see the thorns that were going to come out of the ground. They didn't see the weeds and the briars that were now going to come out of the ground. And man, up until then, they had it really good. Basically, all they had to do is go out and pick the fruit. But now they got to clean up the weeds. They didn't see the pain of childbirth that was right around the corner as Eve would have a child. Cain, she didn't realize. You see, before that, it would have been easy to have children. You could have just had children and had children, but that ain't the way it works now. I've been there. I've done that. I bought the T-shirt. I've never seen the look on my wife's face on that first birth. In fact, my wife is a very calm, most of the time. Serene, most of the time. Not when she was having a baby. I probably told this, but I'll never forget. The doctor walked in, and it was a miracle that she was even going to have the baby in the first place. And doctors were coming from all over. And this doctor, who was the head resident of the hospital, actually left his vacation, came back early because he did not want to miss the birth of this child. But he walks in, you know, all kind of smug, and he's got a mellow yellow in his hand. I'll never forget. You know, some things you just don't forget. Of course, I'm a 24, and I'm all nervous. I'm sweating, you know. And we had gone through them birthing classes, and, you know, you know, you're supposed to do all that stuff. Hey, listen, I'm 56. Take my advice. That stuff don't work. That's mental trickery. That's all that is. When that baby comes, it don't matter how you're breathing. It's going to, yeah. So anyhow, he comes in. He said to my wife, and I was standing there at her head, you know, holding her head and trying to get her to focus on whatever it was she was supposed to be focused on and breathing. And the eyeballs were poking out of her head. And the doctor said, can I finish my mellow yellow before we have this baby? And it was like exorcism coming out of, I ain't got time for your foolishness today. And I'm like, I'd love. See, listen to me. That would have never taken place if there hadn't have been sin. Now, it's getting worse. They did not see a son killing another son. See, they didn't see down the road of a son killing another son. They didn't notice. They didn't realize the sweat that would come from working the ground. They didn't see the anger and the jealousy and the pride that would plague mankind. They did not see the flood that would destroy mankind. They only saw what they wanted to see. And they only saw what the devil told them. And they only saw what they thought was going to happen. That in the day that they eat thereof, they'll become like God. That God was holding out on them. Listen, my friend, God's not holding out on you. God has your best interest in mind. And that's why God says in verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." But do you understand each one of these things has come upon mankind because of disobedience? There was a man walking down the road, and he was dropping scraps of food. And behind him walking was, and eating the scraps of food as he was walking, was several pigs. And a fellow watching this process take place said, "Hey buddy, that sure is a strange way of feeding your pigs." And he said, "I'm not feeding my pigs. This is how I get them to the slaughterhouse." Sin will always take you down the road to death. The reason that people don't fear sin is they don't look far enough ahead. They don't see the sin when it is finished. The old preacher R.G. Lee used to make this statement: "You can eat the devil's corn if you want to, but he'll choke you on the cob every time." Yeah. Proverbs 20 verse 17 said, "The bread of deceit is sweet, but afterward a man's mouth shall be filled with gravel." Every man deals with temptation. And if you get hooked by the sin, it'll always take you down a road that you never ever thought it would take you down. Because that end result is death. But the question becomes very simply in verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So I would finish this three-part series of messages if I could, saying that we'd all agree that temptation is real, I hope. I hope that we would believe the Bible and say it always has a route that it takes. I hope we would agree with the Word of God that the end result is always something that we never expect, because the last thing man ever expects is death. But then I would say to you how to respond is in verse number 16. And basically, you know what James is? I'm telling you, I am convinced that James wouldn't be allowed in most churches today. Because James just looks right out at the audience that he's writing to and says, "Don't sin. Stop it. Do not err, my beloved brethren." I'm just telling you the route of sin. I'm telling you the reality of sin. I'm telling you the route of sin. I'm telling you the result of sin. And then James says, "Hey, listen, within the child of God is the Holy Spirit of God." And we also are not even left with that verse, but there's other verses like, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Do not err, my beloved brethren. The Holy Ghost of God will tell you if it's not right. And if it's not right, don't do like Adam and Eve. Don't do like others who have sinned. Don't do like the prodigal son. Look down the road and understand God has the best interest in mind for you. And that's why James just basically says, yes, it's real. And yes, it has a route. And yes, it has a result. But the response is do not err. Don't go down that road. So here's the command, is to not sin. And here's what I would say to you. God did not make us a robot. We all have a will, and therefore we all have a right to choose. In every manner of life. Every day we make choices. I get up every morning and I make a choice to make coffee. I could make a choice to have sweet iced tea, but I choose to have coffee. I could choose not to have coffee. Every day we make choices. And the bottom line is James, going through this whole process of the message, says, hey, listen, God is good, my friend, and God has given us a free will. And because we have a free will, we can actually choose to not err. There might be somebody in this room this morning. They don't know what it means to be saved. They've never been forgiven of their sins because they're not saved. And the Bible says that they're condemned by their sin, and that sin will take them to hell. And God, through the Holy Spirit of God, will begin to show you the truth of God's Word and show you that the reality is that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that Jesus Christ made a way for you to be saved. Praise God. And you can be saved from the penalty of sin. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to draw you and begins to convict you, you have to make a choice whether to say yes to God or no to God. And I've seen a lot of people say no to God. I'll never forget my wife and I, not that we were, I don't want to use the word proud, but we had done this Bible study with several people. And at that time, up until that time, every time we, whether it was here in Springfield or whether we were in Calvary Baptist Church, and we had an opportunity to do this basic Bible truth with these people. Brother Gray had taught it here on a Wednesday nights. We had taken it and incorporated it in our ministry at Calvary Baptist Church. And every time that we had gone through it, we had seen good results, get to lesson four. People realized they need to be saved. They'd call upon the Lord. Their lives would change. They would get involved in church. We did that over and over. And I'll never forget, we had a lady that was a married to a military member, and she was one of our Sunday school teachers, and she had a real burden for her husband, but we just said, well, maybe he'll do a Bible study. Oh, he'll never do a Bible study. But finally, he agreed to a Bible study. We were all excited about doing this Bible study with this man, and we went into his home every Saturday morning during the visitation, and we did lesson one, then we prayed, we did lesson two, we prayed, we did lesson three, and then lesson four is the salvation lesson. We did it. I did the lesson. I showed him what the Bible says. He was under conviction. My wife was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And he looked right at us and said, I know I'm not saved, and I'm not going to get saved. I'm saying no to God. We were shocked. Why would you say no to God after listening to these three lessons of what the Bible says about you being condemned and you're going to go to hell? And that is a reality, my friend, that if you don't get saved, you will die and go to hell and spend eternity there. And eternity lasts forever. And he said no. We were shocked. We walked away. And he didn't want us to come back and do any more lessons because he didn't want to be under any more conviction. You know what? The man had a choice. Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Meaning that he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to make right choices. People can sit in this church and listen to the messages and still make wrong choices. What's more, God has promised that He would make a way for us to escape. As I read the 1 Corinthians 10:13, here's a promise that God will not allow us to be tempted above what we can handle. That means that God will limit the temptation to the point that we will not have to be overcome by it. That's a promise from God that, praise God, we can count on. But it is important that we understand that the sovereignty of God and the free will of man always work together. If it is God who will make the way, but He makes it clear we have to bear it. The ability to overcome is given by God. The act of overcoming is given up to us. It's called a decision. And I've always said this. I heard this from an old preacher one time. People are always talking about falling into sin. He goes, I don't really think they fall into sin. I think they walk right in it with their eyes wide open. And you know, really, according to this verse, that's probably pretty true, because it says, now, my brethren, we're all going to be tempted. Every one of us. We're going to be drawn away of our own lust. And we can be enticed by the shiny object that we think will be fun, or whatever the case is. But the Bible says the result of that will be sin. And that sin will always bring forth death. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, James will say in verse number 12. Notice this in verse number 12. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now here's all I'm saying right now, and I'm finished. Choose obedience to God, and don't choose death. Choose obedience to God. back to salvation. If you're not saved, Holy Spirit of God will show you you're not saved. He will draw you to the only way of salvation, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And then you have to choose whether you're going to trust God or not. Amen. Choose God. Don't choose death. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for the truth that is contained within this passage of Scripture that we have looked at over the last several weeks. Lord, I think about that fish once again, how he's drawn away and he sees that shiny object and he grabs a hold of it, only to be found the hook set into his jaw. And the next thing you know, he's brought into the net. He is filleted and he is fried. And that was the end result of that enticement that he went to. Lord, it is a very vivid illustration, but it doesn't just involve the fish, it involves people. It involves people that James was dealing with. It involves people who sit in this auditorium, those who are listening on live stream. Those, Lord, your scripture is always true. But I'm also very thankful, God, that you give us, those that are saved, you give us the Holy Spirit of God, that we don't have to sin. We don't have to be drawn away. We can choose to not err according to the scripture. So my prayer this morning, God, is the people of this church and those that are listening would respond correctly when the temptation comes. Because it will come. It will come. Because the old devil's out there trying to do everything he can to go against us. Lord, help us to choose obedience and therefore have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Help us not to choose the devil's way, which will always result in death. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing page 275. Brother Brian's going to lead us.